All right, we'll say good morning. The beautiful daf today. Today's daf is daf I-70. We are picking up Samech Tes on the days 69B. We are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we were discussing the idea yesterday about the, we were talking about Mafriz Sadehu, speaking about the idea that if I rented out something to another individual, so we began with the case of the field, that if I lent him money to make improvements in the field, I could then up the rent, reflecting the idea that now the rental is for an appreciated item. So we discussed that this can't normally be done by a ship or by a store, but then we explained that there are exceptions by these items as well. That if Lamaisa, these areas are being improved, and therefore again rental amounts could go up, I can renegotiate the amounts of the rent as well. So along those same lines, the Gemara says Sfinta. So when it comes to a boat, Amarav Agra Upagra. A person, Rav said, that the owner of the boat, so we'll say I am renting out my boat, I am permitted to charge the person who's renting it agra, which is rent, and pagra, which is damages. Look at Rashi. It's the third wide line in Rashi. Svinta Amrav Agra Pagra Mutala Skira Amrashim Tishabre Yishalim Osa Zohar. So I am permitted to go ahead and rent out the boat in a way that if the boat is damaged, the renter will pay me not only the rental amount per month, but will also go ahead and pay me damages. Amru le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi le Rav. So Rav Kahana, Rav Asi said to Rav, I agra lo pagra, I pagra lo agra. So they said to Rav, can't do both. If you're charging rent, you can't charge damages. And if you're charging damages, you can't charge rent. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, I agra lo pagra, kevan denotal schar en lo tuvo deme shavirta. If you're charging rent, Rav Osei, the idea is, it was understood, in rental agreements, rents by definition were calculated in a way that took into account damages. So if you're charging rent already, you can't go ahead and charge damages. Vi pagra lo agra. And if you're charging damages, you can charge rent. Look what Rashi says. Me'achas sheshama'a bedamim, shem tishabra yesh lahem damim, havile milva gabe, v'hav yeschara ribis. So also listen to this interesting idea that they're raising on Rav. What they're saying is the following. If Lamaisa, the agreement says, I'm borrowing your boat, and in the event of any damages, I have to go ahead and return it whole. The way that works is the following. You evaluate the boat now. Let's say the boat is worth $10,000. So you say in the event of any damages, I have to make you whole, which means I'm borrowing an item $10,000, and my job is to return an item that's worth $10,000. So Rav Osei, that is a halva. That essentially becomes a loan. Once that is a loan, the rental payment, posits Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, then become what? Then become ribis. Therefore, they say you have to make a choice if you're renting the boat to either charge rent or to charge damages, but you can't charge both. So it says the Gemara Shasek Rav. Rav was quiet. Rav did not know how to answer this. So the Gemara says, Lo shmiya le hodisanyo. He was not aware of the following teaching. So I'll say, even though we said, actually, this is the next Mishnah, that you can't accept son barzel from a Jew, but you can go ahead and receive son barzel, literally iron sheep from non-Jews. And we'll say, what is son barzel? Take a look at Rashi. In mekablin son barzel, it's five lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Iska sha'adam mekabel mechaverim. So we'll say, this is talking about a business dealing that a person receives from his friend. O mekabel achrayis. And he accepts responsibility upon himself. She'im mesu, mesu lo. Ve'im avdu, avdu lo. So we'll say, listen to this case of Tzon Barzel. I go ahead, we can just keep it easy. I borrow an item from my friend. Or I should say, it's not really borrowing. I enter into a business arrangement with my friend. Now they call it Tzon Barzel, we'll see why. But I enter, we can just keep with the sheep. I enter into a business agreement with my friend. Here are the terms of the business agreement. I go ahead and I, the borrower, accept achrayus. I have full responsibility if the animal dies or if the animal is lost. And aschar, essentially, I bear all responsibility for losses. Vaschar yachloku. But we agree to split the profits. Vahainu tson barzel. Both said this is called tson barzel. Why? Because the item is like iron. Just like iron remains intact, so too for the owner of the item, the value of his item remains intact. He has no possibility of loss. He only stands to gain. So he says, Vahainu tson barzel, shekashika barzel, shekayim itzlabailov, ve'eno poches etzlam. The nearly shrov makam kachayu kabo behemodaka. Fine. So they called it some bars of rashes because often this was done with small animals. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't enter into a tzon barzel arrangement with a Jew, but you can with a non-Jew. Both say now. One of the interesting things we'll get into in the next Mishnah is the halachos of ribis vis-a-vis non-Jews. We've only been talking about Jews right now, so we'll get to that later. The point the Gemara is making over here is you can't enter into a tzon barzel arrangement with a Jew. Because think about this: what's the tzon barzel arrangement? Essentially, again, I am going ahead. Samech Tesamad Beis, three lines up from the bottom. So again, so I am, or four lines up from the bottom. I am going ahead and I am receiving this object from the Jew. And Lemaisa, again, I, the borrower, the managing partner, as we call it. The managing partner has all the responsibility for loss, but the gains are split. So says the Gemara, aval amru hasham par lechaver va'amru lahare paraschas sui alai b'shloshim dinar va'ani ela lechas sela b'chodesh mutar lefi shelo asa adamim. But yet, Rabbi says, if a person goes in and says the following, if let's say I go to Reuven and I say, Reuven, I hereby accept upon myself the value of your cow for 30 dinar, and I will also go ahead and pay you one sela per month rental amount. So I pay you one sela a month for the rental, and I'm also mekabel upon myself that should something happen to the cow, I will reimburse you for the bless you. I reimburse you for the value of the cow, 30 sela. So the Gemara says that's mutter. Why? Lefi shelo asa damim, because they did not attach a value to the cow. The Gemara says what? Velo asa. What are you talking about? Didn't attach a value to the cow. They just said it worth 30 sela. Amar Rav Sheshes says lo asa damim mechayim. Oel la'achamisa. Rather, Rav Sheshes says what it means is the following. In this case, this is where I'm taking the cow, and I say to him, in the event that the cow dies, I agree to pay you 30 sela, and I also agree to pay you one sela a month for rent. So this is going to be mutter. Why? So look at Rashi. Rashi says mutter. Ve'in zeribis kidim efarish lefishlo asa dame mechayim. But also the difference over here is that since at the end of the day, this is really just a rental. While the animal is alive, I'm paying a rent, and ultimately, again, I'm going to give the animal back. The payment clause for the value of the animal only comes into effect if the animal dies. He says, therefore, again, shim yuzlu paros b'shuk v'yamdu damel al esrim lo yishalim el la'achar misa shim tamus om tishaber amo kol kamadu kabil ale zula lav milvahi gabe v'gam sina nami kabil lo kabil ale zula. So we'll say essentially what the Gemara is saying is the following. As long as a borrower is not going to be responsible for depreciation and rent, then lemaisa, again, the transaction is going to be permitted. So we'll say, so in this case over here, for example, I borrow the cow from Reuven, and I say to Reuven like this, I'm renting it for one sela a month, and in the event that it dies, I'm going to pay you 30 sela. So we'll say, so the Gemara suggests that is not a ribbis situation. Why? Because since during the lifetime of the animal, I'm chayef to pay rent, but not chayef for depreciation. Because remember, if you have to pay depreciation and rent, then that's where we get into ribbis. It's going to be mutter. Therefore, Rav could have answered that by the boat case as well, that even if the person is held responsible for rent and damages, that's not going to be called ribbis. Why? Because since at the end of the day, the renter is not going to be chayiv for depreciation and rent, therefore it's not ribbis. Amar Papa Hilchasa will say, therefore Papa says the halacha is Svina Agra Upagra. So first of all, Papa says, when it comes to a boat, Rabosai, if you rent, if it's good to know, if you own a boat and you're renting it out to others, so the halacha is you can charge both rent as well as damages. Meaning what that means is that I could say, not depreciation, I want to be very clear. If for some reason, again, the boat went down in value, let's say, I'll tell you where this comes up. Anytime you use an item, it technically goes down in value. That's not the depreciation they're talking about over here. They're talking about, let's say, on the open market, this item has by definition gone down in value. You cannot charge for depreciation and rent. That's ribbis. Because the moment you charge for depreciation is the moment ultimately you're merely making a halva. Once it's a halva, you can't charge rent as well. So therefore, when it comes to the boat, you could charge rent and damages. V'nogu taf of ayin. V'nogu b'nei kufra. Agra b'shas mashicha. And I will say, interestingly enough, b'nei kufra, Rashi says, v'nagu b'nei kufra, ba'alei sina, karu b'nei kufra, l'fisha zof sin osa b'zefes. So I will say, boatmen were often called b'nei kufra. Why are they called b'nei kufra? Kufra is pitch. is pitch or tar. So remember, the way they used to waterproof their boats is that they would coat it with tar, right? We know this from where? We know this from where? We know it's from Noach, we know it's from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We know it's from the two tables in the Torah that they coated them with this pitch. In any event, so B'nai Kufra, interestingly enough, what they used to do is they did Agra B'Shas Mashicha, Pagra B'Shas Shvira. Well, so what they used to do is they would go ahead and they would, if you rented a boat, you would prepay the rental. So you would pay the rent for the boat at the time that you took, at the time that the renter took possession of the boat, and Pagra, but damages were only paid upon the return of the boat. So what they did was, in order to avoid, even though this transaction is mutter, in order to avoid that it should not look like ribis, they separated out the two payments to two different times. Atu b'min haga talya milsa. So the Gemara said, I don't understand. You make it sound like this is the halacha because this is what they did. So just because they did it, that's what makes it the halacha. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum demasnisa tanya min haga amar. So what's at the end of the day, Mishum demasnisa tanya min haga. What's that? The halacha, we know the halacha that this is true that you could charge both rent and damages from the braisa. But once we quoted the braisa, so it's also interesting just to point out the practices of the boatmen. So both say, halacha l'maisi, you can go ahead and charge both rent as well as damages. And the custom among the boatmen was to separate out these two payments to make rent payable at the time that the renter took possession of the boat, damages payable only upon return. Weiter says the Gemara, Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel, Ma'o Shayuso Motu L'Havos Beribis. So listen to this statement. So when it comes to money of Yisomim, orphans' money, you can lend it out with interest. Incredible. I will say, now at first glance, this is a shocking statement, but then once you digest it a little bit, so it sounds like what's happening over here is, in general, we are hyper-protective of the money of Yisomim. So, okay, so it sounds like you're running out of money. So I'm really Rav Nachman. Mishum diyasmininu safina le'yisura. Rav Nachman says, I don't understand. Because they're orphans, so again, you could relax biblical prohibitions. What does that mean? Right, lending with interest is an Issa D'Oraisa. So how can you go ahead and do that? How can you go ahead and do that for the Yisum? So what's, and then the Gemara says something shocking. Rav Nachman says, Yasmi da'achli da'lav dido, leiz lo basar shavkayu. Yisomim who eat that which is not theirs should follow their loved one. So we'll say, what does that mean? We're going to see, by the way, that the punishments for ribis are quite intense. So Rav Nachman literally says that if Yisomim are going to go ahead and eat interest, they're going to consume interest, then ultimately they should follow their father to the Beis HaKvaros. Very strong statement. So rather, what does it mean that they're going to go ahead and that you could lend the money of Yisomim with interest? Amar Le, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Amar Le, Eimali, Eiza Gufa Do'ov Dehechi Hava. So he said to me, tell me, so most remember again, this is Shmuel. This is Rav Anan said the name of Shmuel. So Rav Nachman is shocked by this statement. So Rav Anan says the name of Shmuel, that you could lend the money of Yisomim with interest. Rav Nachman says that doesn't make any sense. So then he says back to Rav Anan, in the name of Shmuel, tell me, where did you glean this ruling from? In other words, did Shmuel say this explicitly, or did you infer it from some type of event that you saw, that you witnessed? So the Gemara says, Amrle. So Rav Hanan says, I'll tell you, Hahu Duda Dibnei Mar Ukva, Dahavi Bei Mar Shmuel. So we'll say there was this Duda. What is it, Duda? Rashi says, Kalachas, a large pot. A large pot, like a large pot, kadud, right? A large pot. So what happens? There was, so we'll say, so the Marukva died, left behind orphans, and the orphans owned a pot. The pot happened to be in the house of Mar Shmuel. So Tokil v'yohivle, Tokil v'shakil le. So we'll say, so what happened? Shmuel would lend out this pot, would go ahead and lend out this pot on behalf of the Yisomim. So what he would do is, he would weigh the pot before he lent it out, and he would weigh the pot when he got it back. Because what is he looking for? He's looking to see, literally again, how much the pot diminished each and every time it was used. So what happens? We'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Well, actually, I'm sorry, before we go to Rashi, Shakil Agra, Shakil Pachsa. And Mar Shmuel would charge two things. Now remember, Mar Shmuel was renting this out on behalf of the Yisomim, and he would charge two different payments. Agra, which is rent, and Pachsa, which is, I'm going to call it, it's depreciation, but you understand, it's not like a book value depreciation, it's real depreciation. Meaning, let's say, for argument's sake, it's made out of whatever, it's made out of copper. So meaning, there's less copper that's being returned. See, we charge two amounts. The rental amount, I will call it the depreciation amount. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Takil v'yohev le, takil b'shakel. They almost right across in Rashi. Hayim askir la'achirim. So Mashmuel would rent out this cauldron of the children of Marokva in order to make money for the Yisomim. V'shakla kishu mosolem. He would weigh it when he would give it to the borrower or to the renter. V'chozer u'mekablo v'mishkal. Im chaser nechushta v'shamen lo d'mei chasrona v'yohev le d'mei agar. So again, if the copper in the pot diminished, so ultimately again the renter would be obligated to pay for the diminution in the copper. Pachsa, Rashi says over here, chisaron nechushta. This is the difference, or the diminution in the nechushas. V'isakadait chas for the halvosam beribis I agra lo pachsa laminos and schal mekabna alena sochrim pachas nechushta. So we'll say, see, remember, this is ribis. Why is this ribis? Because we'll say any time. That you are obligated, that you take an item, and you are obligated to return the very same value of the item that you went ahead and borrowed, that is called a halva. That is called a loan, right? So the nature of a loan is that you must return exactly what it is that you borrowed, the value of exactly what it is that you borrowed. So therefore, if it's a halva, the Gemara says, you can't charge a rental amount. Can't charge rental. I would say, think about this. You go ahead and you rent a car, and what happens? You pay a rental amount. Now, there's also a depreciation. Now, we understand that those amounts are built into the rental amount, right? The rental amount is not just how much it costs the company to take care of the car day by day. It factors in many other different values. So the idea is, under normal circumstances, rental amounts also go ahead and include some, reflect some level of depreciation. If you go ahead and have to pay rental amounts and depreciation, that's called ribis. So the Gemara says over here, Mar Shmuel is renting out the pot of the Yesomim, and he's charging both rent for the item as well as depreciation. That's ribis. Now, how is he allowed to do that? It must be what? That because this is the property of Yesomim, you could lend out the property of Yesomim for ribis.
He's not getting the same pot back.
Hold on. So the Gemara says the following. Si'i agra lo pachsa, I pachsa lo agra. But I don't understand. The Gemara says, either you charge, if you're going to go ahead and charge rent, you can't charge depreciation. And if you're going to charge depreciation, you can't charge rent. Amarle, ki ha afilu bidiknoni namishari lemei ovid. Supposed to listen to this. The Gemara says, look at Rashi. Bahi, no, I'll just read that to you again. Amarle, so he said to him, Kiha, this type of arrangement, afilu bidiknoni. Rashi's diknoni is Yisomim Gidolim, Shenismali Zakanam, Ve'inam Kruim Yisom Shar. So we'll say, this type of arrangement is not just permitted for young Yisomim, but it would even be permitted for literally, diknoni means adult Yisomim, who have a long beard. So it means adults, meaning this type of transaction is permitted for everyone. Why? So the Gemara says, Dohamekhamble Alaihu, Chuscha dinechusha, because they are accepting upon themselves the diminution of the copper. I will say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. The makavi alayu chuscha dinechusha, pachas dimei anechoshes shenishar. See, Rabbi Osei, you have to understand something. The Gemara says what's unfolding with this pot is, every time you use the pot, there are two things that occur. Some of the copper is eroded every single time you use it. That's fine. But there's something else as well, which is, the remaining copper that's there on the pot is also not as valuable. Meaning, you've impacted not just the copper in the pot that's no longer there as a result of use, but you've impacted the remaining copper as well, Rashi says. You have diminished the value of the copper that still remains. Because the more you go ahead and you use this pot on the fire, the more it diminishes in value. Afa pi shemashalmin eschoser hamishkal yesh pachas benechoshes hanosebo hanistraf bar v'chol nechoshes sarif dama pechusim. So listen to this. The Gemara says, leaving aside the copper that's lost, every single time you go ahead and you use that pot, you diminish the value of the remaining pot as well. So the Gemara says, Sa'afilu b'diknani na mishar na me'avad ha'da ha'mekabli alayu chuscha dinechasha. Dekama demikli nechasha batzir dameha. So you must say, understand that at the end of the day, when you go ahead and you use this item, you are not, it's not just a depreciation issue, you've fundamentally impacted the item going forward as well. Therefore, again, this type of arrangement will ultimately be permitted. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Amar Rav Chista, Va'amar Le Amar Rabba Bar Rav Yosei Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes. Mo Shal Yisomim. So we'll say, so therefore, again, let's go back for just a moment. The statement that Rav Anan made in the name of Shmuel was wrong, or at least it appears wrong for now. He said that you could lend money of Yisomim for Ribis. The Gemara now says, hold on, that's not true. Again, we'll see if it's true at the end of the day, but at least for now it's not true. What we're saying is what he perceived as ribis is actually the type of transaction that technically would be permitted for everyone, even non-Yisomim. But along the Yisom line, what we are going to see is that the laws of ribis are relaxed for Yisomim. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, when it comes to money of Yisomim, you are permitted to go ahead and lend their money. Means literally in a profitable way, v'rachok lehefsid, and ultimately again, and ultimately that the owner of the money doesn't really have any risk of loss. We're going to see this expression, karal v'schar rachok lehefsid, means the owner of the money gets all of the benefits and none of the risk. Look at Rashi, karal v'schar, shahayu yisomim not l'nchelik v'schar, meaning that you could lend out the money of yisomim in such a way where the yisomim get to share in the profits, ve'in notlin chelik behefsid, but yet they do not share in the losses. Aval ribis mamshel, so we'll say, as we're going to see, remember again, that type of transaction is illegal. Under normal circumstances, if you go ahead and you give a person money, you enter into a business deal with someone, and the way the business deal works is that what? Is that lemaisa, you get the profits, but you bear none of the loss. That is a ribis problem. That's a ribis problem, because think about that. You're giving someone money, and essentially what they are doing is they're going to give you your money back, plus gains and no loss. So that's ribis. That's ribis. But it's not ribis d'oraisa. It's not ribis d'oraisa, it's ribis d'rabbanan. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, we're going to see that when it comes to Yisomim, ultimately, again, you are permitted to lend money in this way. This is called karov l'schar v'rachok mehefsid. Very close to profit, far away from us. We'll say, again, understand, so this part is actually relatively straightforward. If I go out, because I see some puzzled looks, if I go ahead and I give money to Reuven, I say, Reuven, we're going into business together. Here's the deal. I bear no loss. You bear all the loss. I just get to share in the profits. So we'll say, so what happens there? So let's say, again, the business deal succeeds. So again, remember, what does that mean on a practical level? On a practical level, that means Reuven is responsible to pay me back my entire principal. Right? Understand what that means. Reuven is on the hook for the entire principal. Anytime I give someone my money and they are responsible for all of the principal, what do we call that? A loan. That is called a loan. Now what I'm saying is, not only are you chayv for my principal, but you are chayv to return me any gains, which means I'm going to get back my principal plus gains. That gain is called ribis. So the way we normally address that is, again, if I give Reuven money and we're going to a business venture, and I share in the profits and the losses, then what? Then that's no longer a loan. Then this is a business deal. That's why it's not permitted. But if I leverage my risk, or not really leverage, if I remove my risk, and I have no risk in the transaction, which means my principal is secured. That means I've loaned Reuven the principal, he's going to give me the principal plus any earnings, that's going to be the ribis. So we'll say that nature of transaction, where I'm shielded from losses and only get gains, is called karov l'schar rachok lehefsid. For everyone, it's aser. The Gemara is suggesting over here that for Yisomim, it will be mutter. So the Gemara goes, V'ayitotan Rabbanan, karov l'schar rachok lehefsid, rasha. Let's say if you lend money to someone, you give them money, and you give them money and tell them, and make it in such a way that you share in the profits, but the borrower absorbs all of the loss, such a person like this is called the Rasha. Karov lehesed hefsed v'rachok l'schar chassid. This is actually quite interesting. If you lend your money, karov lehefsed, absorbing the losses, and letting the borrower keep the proceeds, then you are a chassid. So I will say, what is that called? No, chas v'shalom. It's called staka. It's called staka, right? It's called staka, meaning, again, so I'll say that's, okay, so you know, so one of the ways, if I have the funds and I don't need to worry about getting back my principal, so again, I can make someone feel good by giving them money and calling it a quote-unquote business deal. But the mice, again, that's this would be an act of staka. Again, Anikir will say, it's a chassid. Chassid means this is not obligatory. This is not obligatory. If a person happens to have the money and they can do it, and they were going to give the money anyway, okay, you could give it like this. However, says the Gemara, Karov lazeh ulazeh, rachog mizeh umizeh, zohi midas kol adam. Rabbi say again, Karov lahev said, Karov l'schar, rachog mehev said, rachog mischar, zehu midas kol adam. Rabbi say this ultimately again is the way of most people. We'll discuss, interesting enough, Karov zeh lazeh, I understand. Right, Karov zeh lazeh is the case of where ultimately I share in the losses as well as the gains. Rachok mizeh umizeh, we're going to see what that case means. So Rabbi says, Amalei Rav, Amalei Rav, the Rabbi Yosef, Hani zuzi diyas meyechi abdina lehu. Rabbi says the Gemara, says Rabbi to Rabbi Yosef, so the money of the Yisomim, what should I do with it? Meaning, how should, now, here's what we've established, is that clearly we try to be as vigilant as possible with the money of Yisomim. How, what is the best way to manage orphans' money? Amrale mosvina lehu beidina, v'yavina lehu zuza zuza. So what we do is, Rabbi Yosef, essentially we set up an account for them at the Beis Din, and we go ahead and we just give them one zuza at a time. We give them their money as they need it. So essentially, we set up like a Beis Din fund, a trust, and that trust dispenses the money as they need it. Here's the problem. Amrle v'haka kalya karna. So this is actually quite fascinating. So Gemara says, here's the issue. We need to invest the money of Yisomim. Why do we need to invest the money of Yisomim? Because if we don't, you're going to burn through the principal. So on one hand, I understand why you want to set up a trust, but if that trust is not going to generate income on that money, the Yisomim are going to burn through the money relatively quickly. So how do we set up a trust? You both say, the interesting part is, but also remember, the investment strategy for Yisomim is a risk averse investment strategy. We do not gamble with money of Yisomim. So on one hand, I like the idea of the trust because it's safe. On the other hand, you're not making any money on your principal, so you're going to burn through all of it. So how do you deal with it? So look what the Gemara says. It's actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says, Amrle, but the Kinan Gavra, the Istei Dava Pricha. So let's listen to this. We find the guy who has gold flakes. So Dava Pricha is gold flakes. Look at Rashi. He says, Dava Pricha, Grutos Shalzav, golden flakes, like gold shavings. Devadei Shalohin. Now we'll say, the Einan Pikadon. We'll say, the idea is, you find the guy with gold flakes. Why gold flakes? As you're going to see, gold flakes definitely belong to the owner, except for that guy who stole like $1.6 million of gold flakes last week. I don't know if you saw this in the news. This guy sold a bag of gold shavings. Incredible. All right. In any event, besides that, so the Gemara says, so under normal circumstances, if you have gold flakes, gold shavings, so those are definitely yours. Ve'inan pikadon. And the Bible said, we're not concerned that perhaps that bag of gold flakes is pledged property for another debt. De'lo avidi inchi de mefakdi dava pricha be'pikadon. People don't give, I'm reading Rashi, people don't give their gold flakes as a pikadon. Ve'chevan da'ashiru, ve'yesh lo ligbos mimenu, im yov du ma'osav, ya'avinan luhu nehale karov l'schar v'rachok lehefsid. So we'll say, watch what we do. We find the guy with gold flakes. Now chances are, if you are a guy with gold flakes, it means that what? You're doing well for yourself in life. So we find the guy with gold flakes, and what happens? V'naktinan dava mine. So we'll say, we give him the money of the Yisomim. We tell him, go invest the money. How do we set up this investment partnership? Karov l'schar rachok lehefsid. Meaning, guy, here's the deal. Any profits get shared with the Yisomim, but the Yisomim are shielded from all losses. I will say, you could only go ahead and make this kind of arrangement with certain people who could afford to absorb the loss. Remember again, for you and I to do this is ribis. For Yisomim to do it, the Gemara is suggesting it's going to be mutter. So we find someone essentially who's wealthy, who could afford to invest the money of the Yisomim, shield the Yisomim from losses, and only bear profits. And I will say, the worst case scenario is what? That if the money is lost, what happens? They've got a bag of gold. The worst case scenario is they are shielded from mamish all losses. Even if for some reason the principal is totally gone, they still have that bag of gold flakes and they're good to go. So the Gemara says, "Amalei batkin legavrei say davar pichav and aktina davar mine viavina luhunehele karol v'schav rachok lehefsid aval davar mesuyim lo." Rabbi is saying, if the wealthy man tries to give us another item as collateral, davar mesuyim means any other defined object, we will not accept that as collateral from him. Why? Duma pikadon ninu v'asamare yoiv simanin v'shakile. Because Rabbi says we are concerned that perhaps any other object will be a collateralized item, meaning maybe the rich man borrowed money from someone else, put the particular item that he's now giving as collateral to the Yisomim as collateral for someone else, and in the event that the rich man defaults on that loan, that collateral may be seized by the Yisomim, and the Yisomim no longer have any protection for their money. Therefore, again, we only take this, so therefore this is a very specific type of situation from an individual who is wealthy, can afford the karov l'schar rachok mehefsid situation, and also has the ability to give them something as collateral that is definitely non-collateralized property. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi Tenach in Mishtachach Gavra de'Islei Dava Pricha." This all works out very well if you happen to find a guy who has a bag of golden flakes. Right? We'd all like to have a guy like that, right? So that works out well. Ilo Mishtachach Gavra de'Islei Dava Pricha. Sneichlu Zuzi Diasi. So okay, what do I do if I can't find the guy with golden flakes? Right? What do I do? So in other words, see, remember, this is actually really interesting because here we're trying to figure out we need an investment strategy for Yisomim. But we need an investment strategy, essentially, that's a no-risk orphan investment strategy. No-risk investment, right? No-risk orphan investment strategy. And I'll figure out whatever that acronym is. I think it's good. NOISA, something like that, right? NOISA, okay. No-risk, right? Good. So you understand, that's what we're looking for. So let's say I can't find this guy. Ultimately, again, who has this bag of gold, what should I do? So Elam Ravashi, Chazinon, Gavra de Mishafu Nechase. So let's listen to this. If you can't find the guy with the bag of gold, what you do is you find someone, de Mishafu Nechase. Rashi says over here, what does that mean? Shenechasev Shketin Etzlo, Ve'ein Iror Al-Karka Osav. You find the guy who pretty much everyone knows to be a financially solid individual. In other words, there are no rumors about debts or no rumors about collateralized property or anything being seized. So you find someone who seems to be known as an individual in a good financial situation. Umehemen, and he is a trustworthy individual. Vishama Dina Daraisa, he's a good Jew. He's a good Jew. He follows the laws of the Torah. Veloma Kabel Shamta Drabanon. He hasn't been excommunicated recently, right? So again, we know that his property is in order. He is a trustworthy individual. He follows halacha. And we will say, now he doesn't follow halacha, he also follows rabbinic law. That means, Shamta Dirabbanon means, he also follows rabbinic law, right? He's not one of these guys that discounts Dinei Dirabbanon. He follows V'yavina le'nehula b'bei dina. And we will go ahead and we will give him the money of the Yisomim in Bezdin. And it was a look at Rashi. That's Rashi in the Daf. B'bei dina, b'fnei Bezdin, she'esh tam koach la'hafkir nichse amakabal itza Yisomim, u'lahas nosimo karov l'schar v'rachok lehefsid. So also we bring this guy to Bezdin. We do this arrangement in Bezdin. And in Bezdin, he's told two things. Number one, in the event, the nature of this transaction is karov l'schar v'rachok lehefsid. So you are taking all losses upon yourself. All gains will be shared with the Yisomim. And in the event that for some reason you lose the principal, reserve the right to take any of your properties in order to go ahead and make the Yisomim whole. So this is what we'll do with in the event that you can't find the guy with the golden dust, you go with golden flakes, you use this individual to invest the money of the Yisomim.
Why does he do it at all? Yeah.
Why would he do it? Yeah, this is remember, that's why we're talking about a wealthy individual who could afford to essentially shoulder this loss. This is a chesed that you're doing for the Yisomim. That is correct.
It's not really ribbis, it's really chesed.
That is correct. Well, remember, it's rabbinic ribbis, but anytime you have the drabbanons always have the right to say, we lift our laws or we suspend our laws in this situation. So for the benefit of the Yisomim, ultimately we don't legislate over here. Yes, so correct. The amazing part is, what would be considered ribbis for us becomes a mitzvah to do for the Yisomim. Absolutely. Says the Mishnah. So remember, we alluded to this before. You cannot accept Tzon Barzel. Remember, what is Tzon Barzel? Rashi says over here, let's read it again. In Mekablin Tzon Barzel, Kol Achrayis HaNechosim Al Mekabel. So we'll say Tzon Barzel is a situation where I receive an object. Let's say I receive. We can even keep it as a sheep, right? Easy enough, as a sheep. I receive it as a sheep. Ultimately, again, I receive a sheep from Reuven. And I accept full responsibility for that sheep. Rashi says, "Kol achrayis hanechosim ala mekabel." I have all the responsibilities. B'sham osam b'maos, and we evaluate the sheep. B'chazman shein nosin lo maosav cholkin haschar. V'afagav the mishni yaseir hidahatanalei ein moshivin chemini lemachzis chaim shunu lekabala pagabehavsit. So we'll say in this case over here, remember, Tzom Barzal is, I am accepting upon myself full responsibility for the value of the sheep. So remember, we keep going back to one simple principle. Any time that you assume the full value of something upon yourself, that is called a loan. That is called the halvah. Therefore, again, the problem with advancing any other payments is that those additional payments ultimately become riddis. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, in the Kabbalah Tzom Barzal Yisrael, if they should riddis, therefore you can't get into this Tzom Barzal situation with another Jew, because to assume full responsibility for the value of the animal plus to pay a rental fee ultimately is going to be ribis. However, but you can go ahead and get into a Tzom Barzal relationship with a Gentile. Velavin mehen umelavin osem beribis. Furthermore, you are permitted to lend to and borrow from a Gentile with interest. So we'll say now the Mishnah is introducing us to the idea that the laws of ribis only apply between Jew and Jew, but do not apply between Jew and Gentile. So you could lend a Gentile ribis and you could borrow from a Gentile with ribis. V'chein beger toshav. And I will say, ultimately, again, this is not true with not just an akum, but also a ger tovshav. So we'll see why the Gemara has to mention that, because the Pashtus, a ger tovshav, is also a Gentile. He just happens to be someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael and has renounced idolatry. So therefore, again, we'll get into the specifics, but it also applies to a ger tovshav. So malve Yisrael ma'osav, or malve Yisrael ma'osav, shel akum, midas akum, aval lo midas Yisrael. So we'll say here the Mishnah makes a very cryptic statement, which you will address in the Gemara. A Jew could go ahead and lend out the money of a Gentile with the consent of the Gentile, but not with the consent of a Jew. So we'll say Rashi's comment over here is Mefarish Bigimara. We will see what this case means. So we'll say we already get a little bit of an inkling where it's going to get really exciting. Is what happens is when you have individuals who are acting as intermediaries for lenders. So again, we're going to get into the sugya of ultimately again lending money on behalf of a Gentile, lending money on behalf of a Jew. We'll get to that. Says the Gemara, the Meimra. So remember again, let's go back to the first ruling of the Mishnah. The first idea in the Mishnah was Tzom Barzal. So remember again, in the Tzom Barzal case, I am getting the sheep from Reuven. I'm getting the sheep from Reuven. And what happens? The agreement is I agree to secure the entire value of the sheep plus pay a rental amount. So says the Gemara, this is Aser. This is Aser, it's Ribis. Now, the idea over here is Lameimra, the Gemara. So what do we learn from here? Dibreshus of the Mekabel Kaima. That when I receive Tzom Barzal is really in my possession. I become fully responsible for it. Right? Because I become responsible for the whole value of the animal, therefore what? It is in my, the Mekabel, the recipient's Rishus. So the Gemara says, is that true? After all, Lameimra, boss, listen to this case. HaMekabel Tzom Barzal min HaNochrin. Listen to this. If I go ahead and I receive Tzom Barzal from a Gentile, from non-Jews, Vologos Peturim min HaBechora, the offspring of the animal, is Pater from Bechora. He's going to be Pater, Rabbi said, from the laws of Bechor, from the laws of firstborn animals. Laws of firstborn animals. So Bo says, so what do you see from there? Why is it Pater from the laws of the firstborn animal? Because Bepashtos is considered to be in the possession of who? In the possession of the Gentile owner. So we see again that in Nichsei Tzon Barzal, the animal is not considered to be in my, the Mekabel's Rishos, but rather it's considered to be in the owner's Rishos, to which the Gemara says, Amra Baye, Lo Kashya, Had Mekabel Ale Onsa Vezula, Had Lo Kabel Ale Onsa Vezula. Oh, so Abaye says, not a Kashya. Both said there are different cases of Tzon Barzal. In a case of Tzon Barzal, where I accepted upon myself any ones, any extenuating circumstance, or any depreciation, that's when the animal is considered in my rishos. The case over here, Abosa, which is a Mishnah in Bechoros, is going to be a case where I did not accept upon myself extenuating circumstances and depreciation. If that's the case, the animal is still considered to be in the rishos, ultimately, of the Gentile owner, and therefore, again, it is pater from the laws of Bechor, to which the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, So it doesn't make any sense. If the owner of the animal still accepts upon himself responsibility for own sin, extenuating circumstances and depreciation, I will say that's not called son barzel, right? The son barzel case is a case of where what? Where the borrower or the person, we'll call him the mekabel. I don't want to use the word borrower because this is not a borrower. The mekabel is the one who has. I'm sorry. The recipient, right? The recipient, the mekabel, is the one, ultimately, again, who has full responsibility. If he doesn't have full responsibility about say, then that's not called son barzel. The ode, furthermore, at the 20 Seifa, look at the end. Look at the Seifa case. Of a mekabel and son barzel mina akum. So remember, I'll say, what was the Seifa in the Mishnah? I mean, the Seifa of the Reisha. In the first part of the Mishnah, the second case read, of a mekabel and son barzel mina akum. But you can accept son barzel from a Gentile. If that's the case, that what you just said is true, liflog bididei. Instead of Rabosa, you don't have to introduce a second case. Instead, split off the first case into two. The Medjar Amurim, Rabosa, when do we say that Lamaisa? When do we say that son barzel from a Jew is going to be usher? Dolo kabil ale onsa vezula, aval kabil mara onsa vezula, shapir dami. Why don't you say, again, we'll say, just qualify the first case in the Mishnah. When do we say that son barzel from Yisrael is going to be usher? That's only if the owner didn't accept upon himself the responsibility for own sin and depreciation. But if the owner of the animal accepted upon himself the responsibility for own sin and depreciation, then what? Then even son barzel from a Jew will be permitted. To which the Gemara says, Ella Amarava. Rather, you're right. Both say, remember, anytime you see those words, son barzel means one thing and one thing only, which means that the mekabel is accepting upon himself full responsibility. So both say, therefore, the case in the Mishnah, as well as the case in Bechoros, have to be situations where the owner is not accepting upon himself responsibility for own sin and depreciation. Rather, that responsibility rests with the mekabel. If that's the case, that the responsibility rests with the mekabel, then why in the case where I received son barzel animals from an akum, why is it that the offspring of those animals is pater from bechor? After all, if it's in my rishus, if it's mine, then what? Should be chayiv in bechor. It's a Jewish animal, so to speak. Or animal owned by a Jew. To which the Gemara says, the guy bechor is hanging the time. I'll tell you why. Why is the firstborn animal of the tzom barzel animal that you receive from the Gentile going to be pater from bechor? I'll tell you why. The Gemara says, hainu tam devlados p'tremen ha-mechora, kevan di'i lo yohev zuzi, because if I say, in the event that it's time to return the animal, and I don't have the money, or I don't have the animal, what happens? Asi nochri tafis le behema. Because Rabbi said, at the end of the day, in the event that at the time when it comes time to return the animal, I don't have the mother or the money, right? The mother or the money. What's the halacha? The Gentile will come and take the offspring. Ve'ilo mashkech leila behem. I'm sorry, as I said it. Let me read it according to the Gemara. Kevan dilo yoav zuzi. If in the event that I can't give him the money back at the time the money is due, Asi nachri v'tafas le behema. The nachri will come and take the animal. V'lo mashkach la behema. And in the event that the animal is no longer in existence, tafas le levlados. Ultimately, the nachri could take the offspring to satisfy the debt. Havi le yad nachri beemtza. Literally, this means the hand of the nachri is in the middle of the transaction. In other words, his hand is shtupped in there in the transaction. V'chol yad nachri beemtza patra min ha-bechora. And I will say, any time that a nachri has a hand in the animal, ultimately the animal will be potter from bechor. So we'll say, this actually is an incredible yusot. This is a klal. The klal the Gemara is espousing over here is that essentially, again, nothing to do with our sugya, but has to do with our sugya because it's on barzal, but an interesting din in bechor. An animal will only be subject to the laws of bechor only when it is a fully Jewish-owned animal with no Gentile ownership interest. But if there is some level, even a little bit removed, of Gentile ownership interest, for example, in this case, the only ownership interest the Gentile has is what? In the event that the Jew can't repay, so ultimately, again, the Gentile could come and seize the vlados, the offspring, as payment for the original animal. But that's called Yad Nachri Be'emsa. Because of that, therefore, it's part of the Mechabra. I will say, for our purposes, it doesn't change the Yisod of the Mishnah. Meaning, the Yisod of the Mishnah still stands. Namely, that what? That Son Barzel, Barzel. Tzom Barzel is considered to be in the possession of the Mekabel. So the Mekabel has full responsibility ultimately for own sin, full responsibility ultimately for depreciation. This is just a unique din by Bechor. Well, so let's just go a little bit weiter, then we'll stop. Mar b'hono b'neshech v'tarbis, l'chonin dalon yik b'tzenu. So we'll say, and the Gemara says an interesting teaching. Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. Literally, he who increases his wealth with neshech and tarbis, he who goes ahead and increases his wealth through lending with interest, ultimately, l'chonin dalon yik b'tzenu. His money will be dispersed by he who has compassion on the poor. Which I will say is another way of saying that any gains through ribis ultimately, again, will not be enjoyed by the person who procured them illegally. Rather, his money ultimately will go to the poor. My lechonin dalin. I will say, what does this mean? That the person who increases his wealth through interest, ultimately, that money will be dispersed to the poor by he who has compassion on the poor. So, amaraf kigon shavur malka. So the Gemara says something amazing. Like King Shapur. King Shapur. What's about King Shapur? Look at Rashi. Shavur Malka, Melech Parasai. He was a Persian king. King Shavur was a Persian king. Venota Mamon Yisrael, and he used to take money from the Jews. V'chonein Bahem Dalim Nochrim, Shein Dalim in Amitzos. And he would go ahead and he would use Jewish money to support the Gentile poor. So the Gemara says, the Gemara attributes the seizure of Jewish assets by King Shapur to ill-gotten gains from ribis. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech says, if you think that you're going to increase your holdings through ribis, just understand, you not only will you not enjoy that money, but that money won't even stay within Klal Yisrael. That money instead will, meaning the money will go to good use, it will go to support the Gentile poor, but not only will it not stay in the pockets of the owner of the money, but it won't even stay in the pockets of Klal Yisrael. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Alright, I think we're probably going to start a little bit earlier tomorrow, but Amir Tashem, you'll check the WhatsApp a little bit later on. Shkoyach.
You couldn't give it to...